Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. A lot of us have dreams, but many of us don't have the courage to go after our dreams and make them reality. Well, Lanicia Baldwin decided to live her dream, and she's going to tell us all about it. Welcome, Lanicia.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I want to share a little bit about your background and then jump into how you're living your dream, because I'm excited to have you here. So. So you're an Alabama native, a Southern lady.
Yes, with ma'am.
A business administration degree from Auburn University. Yep, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
You started your career down there working in IT infrastructure support. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, you decided to take a break from IT. You moved to Atlanta and you started exploring supply chain operations. Do I have that right so far?
Yep, sure did. Okay. And amongst other things, but yes.
Okay. Then you went back to IT with a global company and led a team of business system analysts. And now you're in a senior business analyst role for a company that provides infrastructure support for financial advisors. You're not in Atlanta anymore. You're in Maryland.
Yes.
But you're still in that role. And it's love that brought you to Maryland, correct?
That is correct.
That's wonderful. Now, along the way, you raised a wonderful young lady who is launched and living her best life. Mm-hmm. And she's emulating a mom who's living her best life, too. So, because you were a single mother, you had to defer lots of dreams. What were some of the dreams that you deferred?
So I'd like to kind of change the wording on that a little bit, because I don't feel like I deferred them. I had to change what they looked like.
Okay.
Some deferred, yes, but I still did a lot of things, even though I was a young mom. So that's being like changing what that looks like. For example, I still got my college degree when she was still very young, but that meant instead of I lived on campus for a minute, but instead of living on campus, I had my own place and I went to school at night. So it looked different, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things, like, you know how passionate I am about travel. That's what we're here to talk about, right? It just looked different. Me and my daughter, we would get in the car and drive. We would go places. So I don't feel like that part of my dreams was deferred. It just looked different. It didn't look like what it looked like for everybody else, if you will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you have framed it differently. Mm-hmm. That you framed it very differently, and that you framed it as it's something different, and that it's yours and yours uniquely. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about travel. Because you know how excited I am about your travels and your traveling. Where was travel on that list? You mentioned the fact that you and your daughter just got in the car and rode. Mm-hmm. So what was the impetus for travel? Where was travel on the list of dreams that you were living?
Honestly, I didn't know that it was a dream. Because growing up, we didn't do much travel, right? With my parents, I remember having one trip where it was the first time I got on a plane when I was 12. I went to Long Island, New York to stay with my aunt. And that was like the first thing of travel. For me, it's always been about what experience can I have, right? And sometimes those experiences are local and sometimes those experiences are somewhere else. So I never saw it as a dream, but it absolutely is. It's something that I enjoy and love doing. I just knew that I like having new experiences.
So now I'm curious about this.
Okay.
You did not travel much as a child and as a young person. Mm-hmm. So where did the desire to travel come from? Where did the desire for different experiences come from?
I was trying to think about the origination. The only thing I can think of is that trip as a 12-year-old outside of South Alabama to go to New York, even though I wasn't in the big city. I think that sparks something that says there's a world outside my window, right? Okay. There's a world outside of what it is that I know. And then when I was in high school, I had friends who, were military brats and who just traveled all over the place. So I was hearing their stories and their experiences. And then when we went off to college, they lived other places. So, it was like road trip. I want to go see my friend. So road trip. And the experiences that we had just visiting each other and maintaining our connection, it was priceless for me, and it was just so filling for me.
So you did something that took such courage in terms of creating priceless and fulfilling experiences. You sold your home in Atlanta. You put the stuff that you wanted in storage. You got your car serviced and you set out on a cross-country journey by yourself.
I did.
So tell me, what were you thinking that just tell me, what were you thinking? What led to I'm going to sell my house and I'm going to do this thing?
So it didn't start there. So I love when I hear about new experiences, new things, new places. I have in my Google Maps, I have lists. Okay, here's somewhere I want to go. Here's somewhere I go. So I mark it so I don't forget it. So I just save it in my Google Maps. And, whenever it's time for a vacation or something, I'll go in there and say, where do I want to go? But I knew I wanted to leave Atlanta. And so, I was talking about moving here to Maryland. And it was just this in-between time that I was like, okay, but what do I want to do? It was just like an internal conversation. I was like, I have all of these things on my list that I want to do, and I haven't been able to do any of them in the past few years. Let's do some of them now. It was an internal conversation, and it was just, my list was getting long, and I wanted to start doing. It's enough, it's one thing to write things down, but it's something else to do what I was ready to do.
Okay, so you said, I'm on fire, I'm ready to do, and I'm going to do.
Absolutely. And so this trip evolved a little bit because one of my, and it's still on my list, one of the things I want to do is drive car cross country in an RV, just visiting all the places, doing all the things. I want to drive, west through the south and come back through the north, just really, or vice versa. And so it started out me wanting to do that experience, but I felt like it wasn't a safe thing to do by myself. And especially, I don't have any RV experience. So, I took an alternative route and was like, my car works just fine.
I'm curious, as you were just going through life, raising your daughter, earning a living, did you know that one day you were going to say, I'm selling it all and seeing everything I want to see? Did you ever have that inkling inside of you that you were going to make this desire happen?
Did I see specifically this? No. But I've always known that anything I want to do, I'm going to find a way to make it happen. That for sure. I've always known that. And that's got me in trouble a little bit growing up. For sure. Because if my mom knows, she'll tell you. It's like, nope, once she has her mind set something, just let it go because she's going to do it. So, but I didn't see this.
Okay, you didn't see this. So how'd you get ready for it? How'd you prepare? Because I can't see whimsical in you, and so I know thought and preparation went into this. How did you prepare?
It was a little bit of preparation and a little bit of last minute planning and a little bit of going with it, right? And when I say last minute planning, it's intentional last minute planning, right? So because, I need to know what parts are moving, where we're going, what we're doing, all of those things, because I am a planner indeed. But I left room for excitement and surprises and life and things happening. So the first thing I did was I picked all the cities that I wanted to go to, right? And I picked them either I've always been interested in it or there was something there that I wanted to see while I was there. So that's kind of how I came up with the list. So the first thing I did was come up with the list of cities. So the list started out as being Nashville, Houston, Sedona, Arizona, no, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Sedona, Arizona, and San Diego, California. That's what it started out as. And so I knew that my focus was just plan the first city. That's all I need to focus on right now. I know the order in which I'm going. I know where I'm going. I know, all of the things, but focus on the first city where you're going to go. And so, for example, like before I went to Nashville, I found my Airbnb. I mapped out my route and I knew some of the things that I wanted to do while I was there. So that's the only thing I focused on when I first started my trip was Nashville. And when I was wrapping up Nashville, that's when I started planning the next leg of it. So that's why I say it's a little bit of, it's planning and then it's also just allowing life to happen.
So wait a minute. I want to be sure I have this right. When you were leaving Nashville, you already knew where you were going next, right?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't like you were like, I might go to Houston and I might go to Albuquerque.
No,
No, it
no,
was
no,
more
no.
intentional than that.
Yeah, it was very intentional. The order of the cities was very intentional for a reason because I was going from east to west and I wanted to do what made sense, all of those things. So that was set. But what I didn't know is when I got to the next city, where was I staying? What was I doing? All of those things. But I did have faith and confidence that that would come with time. Once I
Okay.
f is yeah, go ahead.
Always Airbnbs or
Yes.
VRBOs or whatever you want to call them. Always. Okay. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. And the cities were just cities that you said, I want to see, I don't know, the Grand Ole Opry, or I want to see the what's that tram that I love in Albuquerque? I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, the Sandia Mountains. So it was just that I want to see this and I want to experience that. Okay,
Yes.
that's cool. All
Yep,
right.
that was enough to get me there.
Okay, highlights from each stop. I
Oh,
know about the
goodness.
hot air balloons, but highlights from other stops.
So in Nashville, I'll have to say I was really surprised because, outside of Nashville, Nashville is known for country music, right? So that's what you think about when you think about Nashville. But when I got there, I realized that there was so much other culture there, so many other things. Like I can't the Fisk Museum. I went there and they had a beautiful exhibit, and went to a winery there. They had a I get you call it like a wine down. They bring live music out there. You buy your wine, you lay out in the vineyard, and just kind of have a really good time. African American Museum that's there. It was way more culture and diversity in Nashville than I would have expected. And that was a big, beautiful surprise.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Because I'll tell you, when I think of Nashville, I think of the Ryman Auditorium, the
Okay.
Country Music Hall of Fame. And there used to be a store that I love, a department store that I loved there. I can't remember the name of it, but it's gone out of business. And I
Okay.
think of a restaurant called Margo's Farm to
Okay.
Table. That's
Okay.
all I think about.
I went to the Grand Ole Opry while I was there. I went to, like I said, the African American Museum, the Frist Museum. I went to, it was just a lot of things. Now, I will say I went down on Broadway, which is where the nightlife is. It's not for me. It's not for me, but it was like rows of bars and stores and every restaurant and bar, they had like the open windows with a band in it. So it was just very bumping and music and dancing and drinking everywhere. And it was something to watch, but I couldn't participate. I didn't want to participate. It was a lot going on.
Something to watch, but something not something to do.
Yeah, I think in my younger years, maybe, but now I'm like, no, it's too much. It's too much. Overstimulation. Yeah.
Highlights from some of the other cities.
So, okay, now, then I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is where I had my hot air balloon. That has been on my list forever. I wanted to do a hot air balloon. And so, what better place to do it? In New
Right.
Mexico. So that was one of the biggest highlights that I had planned. Now, an unplanned highlight was the Sandia tram.
Oh, yeah.
It
Yeah.
was so amazing. I had reservations at the restaurant up top and just going up there. And I'm telling you, I was on in the car on my way up. And then, I'm doing the whole science and reality thing. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of the sky in a metal box that's hooked to a metal string. What were you thinking? But I got to the top and it was just so amazing. The views that you get there, the restaurant, the food, and the staff, it was just absolutely amazing. And I just wouldn't trade it. It was breathtaking. And I didn't know about that till I got there.
Yeah, the Sandia, the tram up. Oh, that is that breathtaking is the word. I have done that and it's awe-inspiring. Now you did something else while you were there.
Uh-oh, what did I do?
You ate at the Church Street Cafe. Yeah.
I did. And they had what they call the secret garden in the back room. So
Yes.
I went out there and I sat on their patio that had these trees for covering, and I enjoyed a really great meal. I loved it. And
Good,
that
good,
you
good.
recommended that, and I did
That is one of the highlights to me of going to Albuquerque.
Yes.
Did you take a
So
day and go over to Santa Fe?
I did. I actually went to Santa Fe two or three times.
Oh, okay.
I went the first time just to kind of look around and see what was there. And then I found out they had a Native American festival that was there while I was there. So I went up, I saw all the vendors, tried the food, all the things. So I went out there and I think I went two, maybe three times to Santa Fe. And so I'm just, although I'm there in Albuquerque, I'm looking in the surrounding areas within like an hour's drive to see what else can I get into.
Right. To really explore and experience the place. And all right,
Absolutely.
next stop, what was the highlight?
So I was in Arizona. I stayed in three cities there, but I'll just kind of say for me, Arizona, what stuck out the most was being in this little city called Page, Arizona. And it's right at the Arizona and Utah line. And that's where the things like the Antelope Canyon is. I went to both the upper and lower canyon. I went to Horseshoe Bend. There is a part that I did not know about till I got there, which was Glen Canyon. I really enjoyed being in nature there. That was unexpected. I went to Monument Valley and I did not know. I thought they would put you on a bus and drive you through Monument Valley, but you can pay and you can drive your car through Monument Valley. That was very interesting. But I loved it. So those sites, seeing those sites was a highlight for Arizona to me, but I cannot go without mentioning this restaurant called Mariposa that was in Sedona. Oh my God, it was a beautiful experience. It was really awesome.
Mariposa. Okay, in Sedona. So you did Page, Sedona, and where else?
Phoenix. I was only in Phoenix a couple of days, and Phoenix was probably the bottom on my list. If I have to say what did I not enjoy the most, it was Phoenix. And it was so hot in Phoenix. It was 110 degrees, and I'm not exaggerating. I needed to be on the inside.
Makes you want to live right so you don't go down there, huh?
Listen, I got to Phoenix and I got out of my car and I immediately I was like, why can't I breathe? What is happening? Why is it? And then I looked at my phone and that's why. It's really that hot there.
Oh my goodness. Okay, where was the next stop?
Actually, so Phoenix was kind of where I wrapped my trip and ended up driving back. Originally, Houston was on the list and San Diego was on the list, but once again, life happens, right? So with Houston, it was the hurricane. I'm not going to Houston in the middle of a hurricane. So I had to change my plans. And so that's where the flexibility of things come in. It's like, okay, I'll see Houston another time, right? So, and then I was planning to wrap the trip in San Diego, but I needed to go back home and take care of some things for my family. So, if I would have gone to San Diego, it would have been an abbreviated trip. So I had to kind of ask myself, what's more important, enjoying San Diego or going to San Diego now? So for me, the answer, of course, was enjoying it while I'm there. So, those two cities are on my list, to do another time.
Okay. So when you got to a spot, do you remember the feelings that you had when you like arrived in Albuquerque, arrived in Page, Arizona, arrived in Nashville? Do you remember any of those feelings?
So, most times I got there late at night, so it was let me get in here so I can go to bed because I was just so tired. But waking up the next morning, it was this freshness. I don't know if that's the right word, but it was like it was something new and something exciting, and it was this beautiful feeling. I have to think about words to describe it, but it was like I get to do something new today. I'm in a place I've never been, and I get to see what's here and explore. I get to do all of that.
So, was there a sense of gratitude?
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. I'm just really being grateful that I had the opportunity to have this experience, to being able to travel cross country, and while I'm working, because I did this over 6 months. And so I didn't take off work for 6 months. I had the flexibility in my job to work remotely and just be able to go work, have experiences, and just do all the things.
That's cool. What did it feel like to be in your car all the time? I'm sure in your car for hours at a time.
So I had to make some conscious decisions to kind of limit it to no more than 10 hours of driving a day,
Did
right?
you
And
say
that is a
10?
lot. Yeah,
Yeah, that's. I have a 3 hour limit, so I wouldn't get very far.
Yeah, so no, it was 10 hours maximum. Most of the places were 10 hours, between places. So, and while I'm in the car, there were moments of listening to audiobooks, listening to music, listening to movies, and some quiet contemplation as well. Just really thinking and being grateful and observing, what I'm passing, because there are a lot of things that exist in this world that I didn't grow up seeing. For example, I'm driving to Texas. And then you go into Texas and there's all these wind turbines. And I'm like, what turbines? And I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? So, I took a moment to really look it up and understand what was going on and all of this, but that's not something that I saw in Alabama growing up or even in here in Georgia. So just seeing all the things that are different in the world.
This is so fascinating to me. So fascinating that you took to me a huge risk to pursue just seeing and doing and, the doing the things. I don't believe in this nonsense of a bucket list. You created a life list, a living list, and have done it.
And it's interesting that you call it a risk because I don't see it as a risk.
Oh,
I
that's
see it as an
cool.
opportunity. And I know sometimes people will wordsmith and call risk opportunities for improvement and stuff like that, but I just never looked at it as a risk.
Okay. But I think that you frame things in a very proactive, very optimistic way. And I like that. I admire that your mental, and I don't think it's that you're doing a reframe. I think that that is how you think, that you see a world of possibilities, you see a world of experiences that you want to have.
Absolutely.
I think there's lessons in that for me, and probably for lots of people who are listening. All of this is fascinating to me, and I do want to talk more. We're about out of time for today. Would you be willing to come back so we can talk about what you learned on the journey?
Absolutely. I would love to come back and continue the conversation.
Thank you so much for sharing just living your life and living your dreams and creating opportunities and experiences. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.